It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? G's a big timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest fuss-gag hits. Yeah. Chuck Muncie's goons have the last say, so thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo. Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, cute Francesa.
Normal kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Alan.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian.
Woo! Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
Let it never be said that I'm not a good friend, Gene. The best of friends.
You had to explain this to me, and I had to think this through just a little bit, because when you told me this, I'm like, really? Really? But then I realized, no, you suck at betting baseball.
I'm terrible at betting baseball.
You are terrible.
Every summer, I get excited. You know, we've had legalized sports wagering in New York State for a few years now, and I'm now starting to see what my pattern is. My pattern has been consistent from the very jump. I do all right with the NFL. I do all right with the NHL. I do so-so with college football. I get my teeth kicked in with the NBA and with Major League Baseball.
The NBA you should be better at.
I really should.
Okay, this team is on a back-to-back.
I do player props, yeah. And I just always get my teeth kicked in with the NBA. Baseball is by far, though. Every year I hit a wall in the middle of the summer where I'm like, that's it! I gotta walk away! Baseball is kicking my teeth in.
Baseball should be for recreation, just having a little fun. And what would baseball writers say, Danger? That's why they play 162 of these, because it is so random. And when the White Sox beat the Yankees to open a series, like if that's another sport, it's like, oh my gosh, no, it's baseball. It could happen as bad as the White Sox were.
Right.
Fantastic day. You could say this is the best day of baseball we've had all year.
I mean, we've got a lot at stake. A lot at stake. But because I am a friend, I bet the Phillies to beat the Mets in game four.
Is that because you really think the Phillies are going to win? You want to cash in, so that's a double.
I can't lose. If the Phillies win, I get some money. If the Phillies lose, my friend is happy.
I think, like how you said with Masterstroke, how he doesn't come on the show anymore, because if he's going to pick games right, the bit is over. Mm-hmm. Like if the Mets start winning, that's not good for the show.
No. No. It really isn't. I mean, we need them. We need a spectacular crash and burn for it to be good for the show. But good for the show isn't necessarily good for your mental health. And I want you to be happy. And you're enjoying Mets baseball. This was found money, really. I mean, like, we can go back how the season started to where we are now. Nobody saw the Mets doing what they've done.
When the Mets were down and out in fourth place in the division, behind Washington, I might add. They brought out, you know, an advertiser to throw out a first pitch. And that was a low point. Like, really? This is where we're at? With this bad pitching, we're going to have Grimace throw out the first pitch? And then a couple games won, and this is the Met fan base. Like, you know what? We're going to lean into this.
It's so weird. And this is why I think Mets fans are just a breed of their own. I'll call you that. That's a polite way of me saying what I've normally said. I can't even say it anymore. That's what it's done. It's made it so that I can't tease you. I can't tease Met fans, because it's been this ride that nobody expected. But it's so weird to me that it all started with Grimace throwing out the first pitch. And here we are today with their chance to advance to the NLCS later on. It's so much fun. It's high drama. I love it.
I didn't think you'd be getting this pitching from Sean Manaea and from Jose Quintana going today. Manaea was fantastic yesterday.
Great.
Today it's, okay, whose bullpen is going to be worse? Well, that was who's going to lose this game. We're going to talk baseball today. We're going to talk the NFL, the Bills, Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, talking baseball, we bring in our favorite Jim Riley from the Barreled Up podcast, the Odyssey exclusive. You can hear it in the free-to-download Odyssey app. Jim also Ball Cap Sports on YouTube. By the way, we're on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is The Fan Rochester. If you didn't know, you can watch the show. You can like and subscribe while you're there. We're also streaming on Twitch. Jim Riley does a great job covering Major League Baseball, his podcast, the Barreled Up podcast, and he'll be stopping by at 4:25 to talk more about these series.
Yeah, like tonight we get Yankees Royals. Ooh, boy, in Kansas City, Game 3, series tied at 1 each, and like the world needs more Kansas City playoff successes here. I think, you know, barring anybody that's a Red Sox fan, you should be cheering for the Yankees tonight. Also, late tonight, are we going to see the Padres do this to the Dodgers again? Like, the Dodgers with that top-heavy lineup, I just look at this team and wonder, okay, yeah, you won in the 2020 COVID year. You won with Rob Manfred handing out the COVID year trophy.
2020?
They should have more than this at this point, right?
They're designed to win championships. You're right. They're very top heavy. The addition of Shohei, it's like, okay, but like, honestly, what are we doing? You should be winning titles, consecutive titles. It shouldn't be enough to just make the postseason. I like the, this is the all-timer right here. You remember this?
It's going to be remembered.
Getting booed at the COVID series. Not knowing how to react to a stadium full of people booing. And then the one kiss ass in the back.
2020 is going to be remembered as a baseball season like no other. Our clubs, and especially our players, were presented with an array of unique challenges.
Yeah, he got hit in the face with a chorus of boos. Didn't know how to react to it.
Well, they don't like me.
No.
Mr. Burns.
Smithers was in the background there clapping
the,
for
the
him.
Point being, that's the last time the Dodgers won a World Series. So you would have thought by now, and now for the second time in three years, they're in danger of getting knocked out by the Padres. Are the Padres actually the best team in baseball right now? Some would say yes. We'll see what Jim Riley says. That's coming up at 4:25.
Joining us later on this hour, give us like 15, 20 minutes here. We'll get to PJ Glasser. He is the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network and the Odyssey app. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. He is our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser, with some thoughts on college football this weekend and pro football as well. We'll get his best bets.
Yeah, USC Penn State this week. We get that. And yes, PJ is going to pick the Bills and Jets.
Mm.
Lot of questions surrounding both of those teams today. Glad that Aaron Rodgers cleared everything up, though.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he just clear it up? I mean, when you hear him on McAfee, it's like, you know, if you listen to the sports bar, you know the sound that's going off in my head. Everything that he's saying is a giant lie. Just one after the other.
The defamatory remarks. They're not defamatory if we say it's our opinion, Aaron, that you're kind of a jerk. That's not defamatory.
But. Yeah. The news out of Orchard Park today, surprisingly grim when you talk about the injuries. This is Sean McDermott giving the update on his team's injury report.
So Taylor Rapp has cleared concussion protocol. Ed Oliver will not practice today. Shakir will not practice. James Cook will not practice. Curtis Samuel will not practice. All three of those will take it one day at a time here. And then Taron Johnson and Austin Johnson both will be limited today. And then Darrington Evans will return to practice in the IR category. Yes. Yeah. So there, we'll see where it goes. We'll know a little bit more coming off of today and into tomorrow.
What is the injury on James?
James is a foot toe injury. I believe around the same thing, ironically enough.
So you're dealing with a foot and a toe with both Curtis Samuel and James Cook. And Samuel, you remember in the preseason, was dealing with a case of turf toe.
Okay. if he was dealing with this in the preseason, did it flare up? I mean, or is this just kind of a little bit of cover that this isn't working out? Let's get a little bit of a reset here for Curtis Samuel, and maybe we'll just kind of give you a couple days off of practice. I don't know what the answer is to that. The James Cook thing is kind of concerning because, okay, nobody knew he was hurt. Maybe he played through it. I would have hoped we would have saw more out of Ray Davis at this point. Like, you see some other running backs in the league that are stepping up as the number two, the last guy being Tank Bigsby down in Jacksonville. And it's not to say that Ray Davis can't be, but how confident are you in the backfield? Because that was plan B with this Bills offense. All right, the passing game isn't working because Sauce Gardner and the defense doing their job and the pass rush is doing their job. But you can run against this Jets defense. Well, can you run if it's going to be Ray Davis and
Ty Johnson?
Dare I say Frank Gore promoted from the practice squad?
We'll monitor this, obviously, through the course of the week, and maybe James Cook doesn't miss any time. It is alarming that he's not on the practice field to start the week, and you're getting a little bit healthier on the defense. Again, with Taron Johnson limited, I imagine that that's ramping up to him being available come Monday night. On Samuel, look, I was skeptical of that signing the moment it happened. We hadn't really seen him do anything with his time in Washington, and I thought it was fair to wonder whether or not that player was what he once was when in Carolina. We haven't seen it yet. So I feel as if with Curtis Samuel that this is going to go down as a really, really poor signing by Brandon Bean.
Yeah, we can say, all right, Keon Coleman, is he where you want him to be? Comparing him to Xavier Worthy, that's to be tabled. I mean, you just have to look at Coleman. All right, he has got a couple touchdowns, made a few mistakes. Kind of would expect in a rookie. If you're spending $24 million here on a wide receiver, you at least want him to create a little bit of separation. And this was the narrative. And this is what I bought into. And maybe I'm guilty of selling this a little bit too, because I didn't watch every Commanders game. Who does? But you look at the quarterbacks and like, wow, come on. Who was throwing him the ball in Washington?
Right.
Taylor Heineke. Look at all these guys that they were using. They didn't have a quarterback. Of course, his stats weren't as good as he was in Carolina. Well,
I saw a real interesting breakdown by Warren Sharp. Smart guy. If you follow the NFL, you probably have seen some of his videos. He's an analytics guy. But he broke down what he sees as a problem with this Bills offense. And it's kind of what we saw, the differences of what we've seen from the first 3 weeks offensively versus the second 2 weeks, or the last 2 weeks offensively. And it's the insistence of Josh Allen to throw the ball, and maybe to an extent Joe Brady in calling what he's calling, but the Bills aren't playing to their strength, meaning Allen throwing the ball outside the numbers has become more prevalent here in the last 2 weeks. And he doesn't have players who fit that skill set. He no longer has Steph Diggs or Gabe Davis, guys that he relied on outside the numbers to make those plays. You don't have that in Curtis Samuel. You don't have that in MVS. Keon Coleman maybe becomes that when he's not getting plunked in the head because he's not turning around looking for that pass. So there's an issue there. And the offense is far more efficient when they're completing passes in the middle of the field, between the numbers. More efficient, more completions, more yardage. It speaks to the importance of Khalil Shakir. You need him back, and you need him back quickly. It speaks to the importance of guys like Dalton Kincaid. And I think Curtis Samuel can be one of those guys, but they aren't getting that separation. And it's maddening, and we'll have to monitor this and see if they continue down this path here against the Jets. Are you going to continue to play to your offense's weaknesses by throwing outside the numbers, or are you going to decide that the stuff in the middle of the field is actually what's going to get you to where you're going? It's not sexy. It's taking what the defense gives you, right? I mean, we've talked about that before. We saw it through 3 weeks with Josh Allen. It felt like they were moving the ball with great efficiency. We were all ready to claim Joe Brady the next head coaching candidate. We haven't seen it the last 2 weeks, and I'm wondering how much of that is Josh Allen forcing the issue to the outside of the numbers, thinking, I can make this throw. I've made it before. No, not realizing you don't have the talent at wide receiver to make the catches that you saw early in his career.
Okay, well, couple of things. One, where Sharp is saying last 2 weeks. What's true of the last 2 weeks? You're without your top receiver. Yes, Shakir was there in Baltimore. He also got clocked by Kyle Hamilton, and that's where the ankle injuries, you know, he suffered. And give him credit for gutting out the rest of that game, but who knows how much it flared up after the game. So that's why we haven't seen him. So when you get Shakir back, whenever that is, that'll help to alleviate that. Two, find someone, Danger. Find someone. Okay, what is the most difficult throw in the NFL for a quarterback? Well, it's the long bomb. No, it's not. It's throwing the out pattern because you have to have the arm strength and the timing to deliver it. It was such a weapon when the Bills had Diggs and the Bills had Gabe Davis. And yes, you saw a little bit with Shakir. And yes, even in the Baltimore game, I kind of recall, they were throwing some, they were more back shoulder stuff. But the square out, that was automatic for Josh Allen. So the idea that, well, you're going to have to recalibrate. I'll listen to that, that right now they don't have a receiver that can kind of create that, just that little bit of separation that's needed, because, heck, how do you defend that if you're on a corner? You've got the sideline. It's a brilliant play, and the Bills used it with very effectively. It just kind of goes to the argument, Danger. Go and trade for a wide receiver. We're not the show here, I don't think, that's saying, hey, everything's going to be okay at wide receiver. Hey, Keon Coleman's going to develop. Who knows about the guys they bring up from the practice squad? Shavers, maybe. No, you can get guys that can do this.
I think losing Shakir is the big piece of it, right? Like, I think if you don't have a healthy Shakir, if Shakir isn't able to do what he did through 3 weeks, long-term this season, it's going to be a struggle, and that's... that's a fear. In that regard, yes, go get somebody. Go get anybody who can provide that for you. But you're talking about now the middle of the season and somebody who needs to learn an offense and develop the chemistry with Josh Allen.
Great. You have all this time. Like, can everybody recalibrate? You're not going to be the number one seed. But you can win the division and get a home playoff game. Like, that should be the measure here. If you go get the receiver now and you have 8 weeks, you can't develop that chemistry over 8 weeks? I think you could.
Well, there's another piece to this, and I'm going to bring this up later when we share some additional takes, because you can look at NFL teams, and I think the Bills aren't immune to this, and say, wow, they are really arrogant in believing that they can do what they think they're going to be able to do with a lack of talent, right? Like, it's arrogant of the New England Patriots to say through 5 weeks that Jacoby Brissett gives you the best chance to win, right? Like,
or Drake May.
Well, now it's Drake May gives us the best chance to win, right? Like, okay, so all of a sudden he does, but before he does, we believe that even though we don't have the talent, it'll be good enough. We can coach them up. We can get them to a place. And I think there's some of that lives within a lot of NFL teams, and the Bills are one of those teams when you look at what they did at wide receiver here. Well, we don't need Stephon Diggs. I'm like, who do we have? We're going to be fun. We have Curtis Samuel, MVS. And, well, there is a team in the NFL that continues to do this, and there's a differentiator. It's not that big of a differentiator, but it is a differentiator, and
okay,
I'll explain
so
that later.
Okay, so that's a riddle. What team continues just to be arrogant and double down? That's the riddle here?
It's a team that it does. You look at their roster, and you could say the people that would call this team a super team while looking at this roster, you'd call them crazy. You'd call them delusional, because they're not a super team. They don't have exceptional talent at the skill position, yet they continue to win football games. And it's... I'm not going
to... No.
I can spoil it if you want. I mean,
No. Like, it's a riddle that which team wins football games, but... I mean, I know you love Pittsburgh.
It's not Pittsburgh.
Okay.
No, Pittsburgh's losing games now. Pittsburgh is this version of the Steelers, this Steelers team. If you're a Steelers fan, tell me I'm wrong. They're the same. They're the same Steelers team they've always been. They're going to be good on defense, and their offense is just going to be blech. They're going to play to the level of their competition.
And they should go over to Russell Wilson.
It's the same thing every year with the Steelers. It's the same. And I think if you're a Steeler fan, you kind of recognize this season looks like last season, except you have two quarterbacks instead of one. You don't have your guy. You haven't had your guy since Ben.
Back to the Bills. If about all these injuries, again, Shakir, Oliver, James Cook, Curtis Samuel, all not practicing today, you do get the extra day. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of, normally you're not looking at this until Friday, but you can even table this till Saturday. In fact, they won't be ruling anybody out until Saturday. So there is a little bit of hope. I think it's positive, certainly the Taylor Rapp clearing concussion protocol. Okay, he's back. Can we expect Taron Johnson back this week if he was quote-unquote limited today? I'm hoping that he's back. That's a big, big help.
All right, before we get to PJ, quickly, Gino, because it is Wednesday. Normally, we play McDermott McLies on a Wednesday. And I'm gonna throw a little curveball. We also have a few minutes of Aaron Rodgers on Robert Saleh. Which one would you rather have? Sean McDermott for a few seconds on Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Rodgers for a couple minutes on Robert Saleh?
I need to know, okay, is this Aaron Rodgers talking to the actual New York media or is this Aaron Rodgers paid?
This is for McAfee.
Okay, the paid appearance on McAfee. Sidebar, what does AJ Hawk do? He just kind of sits there. How many? 2 minutes?
3 minutes on Robert Saleh from Aaron Rodgers.
Holy mackerel. 3 minutes. 18. I'm going crazy. It's the highest over-under ever.
Are we going to wade through 3 minutes of this guy's BS to get to that
play
number?
Play along, everybody. Are you going over or under 18 minutes? 18 lies here.
This is Aaron Rodgers earlier on McAfee.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was a day that reminds you of the simple fact that all of us who played know all too well, and that's that it's a tough business. It's a beautiful profession. It's incredible. It's done so much for our lives, but it's also a really tough business. I love Coach Saleh. We have a very solid relationship. We have since, I met him in 2021 and had a nice conversation when they came and visited us for joint practices. He was a big reason why I came to the Jets. You know, I felt like the team, was a solid team. Had a relationship with Coach Hackett, obviously. And I really liked Coach Saleh. Everything that Matt LaFleur said about him, the few interactions I've had, the times that we went against him, I just had a lot of respect for him. And so, it was just a reminder yesterday how tough the business is. I think what people can forget in this is not only is Robert a fantastic human being and a damn good football coach, he's also a family man. He's got 7 kids. He's got an incredible wife. And the business of football can be hard, not just on those of us who are playing and coaching and doing personnel things and ownership, obviously, but it's tough on the families. And I've got to know Robert's family over the last couple of years, and especially one of his kids, Adam. Adam's my little throwing buddy from training camp. Love God. Adam. He's an incredible, incredible kid. And so I'm thinking there's obviously a lot of emotions, but you think about the family and the kids as much as, the people that you love, your own family, who is the coaching staff and the players and what they're all going through. So, anybody who's kind of championing this decision, I would just appeal to the humanity of the situation and remind you there's other people involved. And Adam has to go to school today. Possibly or this week, and hopefully there's no kids with poor parents who are making snide side comments to him. It's just a reminder there's a lot of things involved in this. As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and he was, one of those days yesterday.
19!
Hit it right at the
yes,
end.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
He did not let us down.
Yes, and full disclosure, I don't listen to this ahead of time. That's just years of listening to that guy's crap. 19. Everybody who bet the over, congratulations.
Oh, man. He went to the family card. I know his kid. I'm friends with his kid. I hope his kid doesn't get bullied. I had nothing to do with this.
then you know what? If you hope your kid doesn't get bullied, then you pipe down. You stop talking about it.
Or if he means that much to you, you have the power that he doesn't. You do. You're the yes. franchise quarterback. You say, what are we doing, guys? This is a mistake. Get out of here. Guy's the worst.
Thank you, Dandelorian, for putting that.
That was good.
Wow. And
maybe we'll get to McDermott later, but that won't be topped.
It's the start of a great day, Danger, when you can win an all-timer on McDermott with lies, except it's not McDermott, it's Aaron Rodgers lies we played today.
Let's get more winners. Yeah. PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network with his favorite plays in both college and pro football, next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester. The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bills practice today, and some players not on the field. Khalil Shakir, Ed Oliver, running back James Cook, and Curtis Samuel. Both Cook and Samuel dealing with some sort of toe/foot issue. Taylor Rapp was cleared today in concussion protocol. Taron Johnson was limited. And Coach Sean McDermott on the Jets defense.
I think they give most people problems, right? So really good defense, really talented defense. You know, it starts up front for them like most good defenses, and they've got high draft picks scattered throughout the entire defense, every level of defense, and we'll have our hands full.
How do you bet Bills Jets? We'll talk to our expert, PJ Glasser from the BetQL Network. He joins us next year in the Sports Bar. Four games in the baseball playoffs. Detroit leading Cleveland 1-0. Tigers up in the second. Team Battaglia, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan. Rochester.
Joined now by the host of Send It In, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider PJ Glasser. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, good to have you back on with us. Thanks for making time for us in the sports bar. We've got a full slate of games this weekend to look forward to in college and pro football. Let's start with that old Red River rivalry. They're not in the same conference anymore. Actually, I'm wrong in that. They're both SEC schools now. Taking my mind needs to calibrate a little bit, but we love this rivalry, of course, between Texas and Oklahoma. It just highlights a great weekend of college football ahead. How are you, PJ?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, awesome slate this week. Might be one of the best ones that we have all year in the regular season. And Texas and Oklahoma, I think, is going to be closer than what the line has at 14.5. It feels like whenever these teams have played over the last decade, you always come into this matchup and it feels like one team's trajectory is heading up and the other team is heading down, right? And certainly Texas, number one team in the country, they've looked great so far. Oklahoma suffered the loss to Tennessee. They've had some close games against Auburn, Tulane, Houston. Their offense is a mess. But ever since they made the switch to the quarterback, Michael Hawkins, they've been a little bit better. Both teams are coming off a bye week. 9 of the last 10 meetings, guys, between these two teams in the regular season have been decided by 8 points or less. They played also in the Big 12 title game a couple years back. But these games are always close, obviously a great rivalry, and it feels like the underdog in this matchup always plays really well. I was talking earlier about feels like one team's always heading up in this game, one team's headed down. Keep in mind, too, Texas is Georgia next week, so maybe coming out of the bye week, not quite showing all their cards in this matchup. I like Oklahoma plus the points. I don't know if they can win the game, but I like getting the hook with the 2 touchdowns, 14.5.
Late afternoon window, PJ. This is the one a lot of people are going to be watching, particularly in our area, because Penn State isn't that far a drive. And are the Nittany Lions for real? This is one of those new opponents, new settings. The Penn State Nittany Lions in Los Angeles to take on USC, 3:30 on CBS. Penn State giving 5 on the road, over under at 50.5. PJ, how do you play this?
I like USC, guys, plus the points. I think Penn State's on upset alert as well. Something that I love in college football is when you have a marquee matchup like this and you look at what happened the week before, and when one of those teams lose outright like USC did to Minnesota, those teams usually always bounce back and play really, really well, right? So you look at USC, they have two losses this season on the road against Michigan and Minnesota. Very easily could have won both of those games. They're a good home team. They still got a good offense. Their defense is much improved. And for me, it feels like the same old Penn State. Their offense certainly does feel more modern. It feels more explosive. But this is what we wanted to see. We wanted to see them in a big game where the chips are on the line. They're going up against a good team. Guys, here's something also to consider as well. This is now the ninth game that's being played in the Big Ten where a team has to travel through at least two time zones, right? Mm-hmm. Penn State obviously has to go from Eastern to Pacific time zone. 1-7 straight up are those teams that have to go through time zones at 2 and more. So it's not been easy on these teams. We all wondered what it would be like, the new Big Ten and this geography from these schools on the West Coast going east and Midwest, whatever it may be, hasn't been kind so far for these schools. I think Penn State's going to struggle in this game. I like USC +5.5.
All right, here's another one of those new Pac-12-infused Big Ten games where you've got Oregon and Ohio State. What's your take on this one, PJ?
So I like Oregon plus the points, guys. I liked it a lot better at 4.5, obviously. I still like it at 3.5, anything over the field goal. I think Ohio State might be the best team in the country. I think they might be the most talented team. They're loaded all over the field. It just all comes down to the quarterback, Will Howard. And this is where we find out if he's the real deal. This is why Ohio State brought him in to be their quarterback, to take him over the top. Oregon this season, guys, you know, their first two games against Idaho and Boise, they didn't look great. And I think everybody, after watching those two games, just kind of wrote the Ducks off. They have been getting better their last couple games. And, you know, in these big games, Dan Lanning's come up short in a lot of them, but all these games that he plays in are close. I mean, all these battles that they've had against Washington when DeBoer was there, they lost them, but all the games were 3 points. They're all tight. So I think anything over the field goal, I just mentioned, right, teams that are traveling, time zones, +2, whatever it may be, have struggled in these spots. Night game at Austin Stadium, unreal environment. I like the Ducks to keep it close. I don't know if I'd take a money line, but I like 3.5.
Yeah, fantastic lineup we have here. And if you're bored with that game, or maybe this time's out at halftime on Saturday night, you can switch over to Fox and see Iowa State and West Virginia. Cyclones giving 3 here on the road. PJ, I don't know how you're going to call this one. How do you see it?
I like West Virginia, Gene. I would take him outright, honestly. You're getting +3 at BetMGM, so key number there. I think that's good, but I think they win the game. Both of these teams are 2-0 in Big 12 play. Iowa State's undefeated. They're 5-0. West Virginia's 3-2, but both are unbeaten in conference play, so this is a monster game. Morgantown's just one of those places, guys, one of those venues. It's at night. It's a very tough place to play. West Virginia was very good in conference play last year. They match up well with Iowa State. Cyclones kind of want to play mistake-free football. They're well coached. They want to play good defense, run the football. West Virginia can play that kind of game too. I think their quarterback, Garrett Green, is going to be the difference in this game. I think it comes down to the wire. But give me West Virginia in a mini upset there, +3 and also +130 on the money line.
All right, let's shift gears to the NFL. Let's look at Sunday's action as we got the Texans fresh off their beating of the Bills on Sunday, taking on Drake May and the New England Patriots. PJ, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, guys, this is one of those ugly dogs that I like this week. We know how well these big underdogs have been doing in the NFL, and this is one I like with the Patriots plus the points. Really don't know what to expect with Drake May. I think that could be in the Patriots' favor just because the playbook is wide open. There's not really much tape that Houston has to look at. Also, they're coming off that big win against the Bills, right? Game-winning field goal, emotional win. Think about the Texans, too, last season. That was a team that made the playoffs and won their division, but two of their losses on the road were to two of the worst teams in football, guys. They lost to the Panthers on the road. They also lost to the Jets and Zach Wilson on the road. So, yes, this is a team that's very good. And, you know, another year with C.J. Stroud, another year with D'Amico Ryans. But the Texans showed us last year, especially on the road, they can play to the level of their competition. They're 4-1 this season. They have a point differential of -5 as well. So they haven't been blowing anybody out. I just think this is too many points. Patriots are making the change to Drake May for a reason. They can't go with Jacoby Brissett anymore. I'll take New England with the key number of 7.
Yeah, PJ Glasser, who you hear on the Send It In show, BetQL Network, Monday through Thursday, we'll tell you more. You can get more PJ's content here. Here's a pop quiz for everybody. As which NFL game this week has the highest priced ticket on the resale market? And if you said Pittsburgh and Vegas, that's not correct, actually. The correct answer is actually Commanders and Ravens. $267. And, PJ, I get this. I have a friend that lives in the Beltway, and you're down there. I would think there's a lot of hype for two teams that right now people are feeling really, really good about, and Washington hasn't been relevant since I don't know when. So from a betting standpoint, is there value here? Do you stay away? What's your thoughts here on Commanders and Ravens?
So if we're looking at the spread, guys, and you know I'm a Ravens fan, I come on here, I've actually liked a lot of their games the last 3 or 4 weeks. Like, I'm not a homer. I tell you if I like them. I tell you if I don't like them. I do kind of like them this week at -6.5. I actually think it would have been a great spot to fade them, coming off 3 really tough games against Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati, unreal game last week. Now it's a 1 p.m. CBS game. You're a big favorite. I think it would have been a nice spot to fade them, but with how hot the Commanders are and with how well Jaden Daniels is playing and with all the comps to Lamar going on right now and the fact that this is the Battle of the Beltways, the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia rivalry game, I think it's going to bring the best out of the Ravens. And Lamar's 21-1 against the NFC. He dominates this conference. Harbaugh and the Ravens are 15-2 against rookie quarterbacks. They normally dominate young players. I know Jaden's on fire. Guys, the play that I actually like in this game is the under at 52. And I think it's going to scare a lot of people taking the under with the top 2 scoring offenses in the NFL and the way that both quarterbacks are playing right now. But you got to think about Jaden and Lamar are so tough to go up against because you can't scout them, right? You can't, like, prep for them. There's no one in any other locker room or any other team that has the skill set that those two guys do, but both defense have the advantage of playing against both of these guys every single day in practice, right? So when the Ravens go up against Jaden, they kind of know what they're going up against and vice versa with the Commanders and the Ravens. So I like the under. You know, it's starting to drop a little bit too, which I think is telling you a lot. Game like this, I actually like the under, guys. That would be my play, under 50.
All right, let's talk a little bit of about a game that could be a points bonanza, and Lions-Cowboys, with the Cowboys getting that win on the road late on Sunday night.
I like the Lions -3, guys, in this matchup. This is a revenge game right here. Anybody who watches a Lions game in Ford Field recently, whether it was in the playoffs, whether it's been a couple of the regular season games this year, you guys remember these two teams played at the end of the regular season last year, and there was a very controversial call with one of their linemen, Dan Skipper, who went to Brad Allen, and he told him that he was eligible, and we all saw it. He brushed across his chest, and he caught the touchdown, and they ruled it ineligible, and the Lions got screwed. And every Lions home game, if you watch the game and you listen to the broadcast, whenever Skipper checks in, they always, like, mock cheer, right? They always get excited. So the fans have been ready for this game. The players have been ready for this game. It's just a big-time revenge matchup. You also love spots in the NFL, guys, very profitable usually, when you get teams off of buys and they're going on the road because they're just more focused, right? Like, if you're on a bye and you're at home, all that extra distraction, you don't lock in as quickly as you would if you have to get on a plane and go to a different city. So they got that going for them, too. They're going to be hyper-focused. They've wanted this rematch against Dallas ever since that game late last year. And I think the Lions found something in that Seattle game. They started to look like the Lions team we all thought they would be heading into the season. I think this gets to 3.5, guys, by kickoff on Sunday, so I would grab the 3 now with Detroit.
Yeah, PJ, not coming off a bye, but they do get the extra rest. The Atlanta Falcons last Thursday night, hey, from a fantasy standpoint, yay, finally you show up there. That Atlanta offense we've been waiting for all these years. Now they go to Carolina, a Carolina team that has been up and down, and the Falcons are giving 6. Are you comfortable enough laying 6 points in Charlotte, PJ?
So So, guys, I think this is going to be the upset of the week. I like Carolina +6. I like a money line +220. Think about Atlanta's schedule the last 4 weeks. Think about the fact that they've been in three primetime games, Monday against the Eagles, Sunday night against the Chiefs, Thursday night against the Bucks. Think about the fact that all those games came down to the wire. The Bucks game went to overtime. They also had that game against the Saints, a divisional matchup, where Koo had to drill a 58-yarder to win it. Four straight weeks, guys, they've been in either high-profile games or they've been in a divisional game that have all come down to the wire, and they've all been close. And now you go on the road against one of the worst teams in football, and you're laying 6 points. I think it's a really, really nice spot for Carolina. You always like backing teams in the NFL that get blown out. They tend to play much better the next week. Carolina obviously just got blown out by Chicago. So I think this is a game that not a lot of people are going to want to bet because there are much more sexier matchups on the board. And, you know, the Panthers aren't that great. It's like, do you really want to lay 6 with Atlanta? But I actually think it's a really, really favorable spot and matchup for the Carolina Panthers. So, guys, I'd grab the 6. I'd take a money line as well. And for anybody out there that's somehow still in their survivor pools, I would stay clear of Atlanta this week.
All right, PJ, I've been waiting to get your take on, of course, the matchup we've been spending the majority of our time talking about, and it's a little bit more intriguing now with the news that we got yesterday of Robert Saleh being fired by the New York Jets at home Monday night against the Bills. Right now on BetQL, well, I mean, it varies, -2, -2.5, the Bills favored by under a field goal. What's your take on this matchup here coming up?
I think the Jets are a great teaser leg this week at +8.5. I think it's going to be a one-possession game. I think it goes back up to 3. I think you got to take the Jets. It's a tough handicap. Now with all this Saleh news, you know, you generally love backing teams in that first game when they fire a coach. You get that emotional lift. They tend to play really well. It feels like, and I'm sure you guys can talk about this better than me, it feels like Josh Allen tends to struggle at MetLife a lot whenever he goes up against that Jets defense. I remember last year he had a bunch of turnovers there. So the Bills obviously have lost 2 straight. Allen's never lost 3 straight games in a row. You got to figure they're going to play well. I think they did find a little something there in that second half against Houston that they can build on. But, man, the Jets have one of the top pass defenses. And Buffalo, especially without Shakir, hopefully he's back on Monday, but they've really struggled without him. And they've struggled to throw the ball the last couple weeks. So I like the Jets plus the points, especially if it gets to 3. Really is a toss-up of a game. I wish I could give you guys a definitive answer of who's going to win. If you had to make me pick it just because of Saleh getting fired, I'd probably take the Jets. But I would just bet this one on the spread, especially if it gets to 3. I like the Jets plus the points. This game's coming right down to the wire.
Yeah, there's a lot of injury fog coming out of Buffalo today. And we didn't have Ed Oliver playing for the Bills last week, nor Khalil Shakir. But now come to find out, wait a second, James Cook not practicing today, some sort of toe/foot. Same thing with Curtis Samuel, although Samuel, he's been a zero as far as production this year. But in terms of Shakir and Cook, their status, PJ, is that enough to sway the line here, in your opinion?
It could be. I think Shakir is the big one. I mean, it's how important he is to Allen. He's kind of his security blanket. He's the veteran, especially amongst the receivers that he trusts. Look, I got Keon Coleman on my fantasy team, and I mean, you guys know, it's all boom or bust with him. He's got 1 or 2 catches every week, and it's usually like a 40-yarder, so he's kind of taking care of the Gabe Davis role from last season. Shakir, I mean, certainly he's nowhere near what Diggs was in his prime, but that's kind of what he's asked to be. He's the possession receiver. He's the number one guy. I think if he's out there, you might see some money pouring and this line go back up to 3. But I would not bet Buffalo if he was out of the lineup. I couldn't touch the Bills if Shakir was not playing. So I think he is that important to the game.
I'm not going
to
ask you for any specific plays, but you're a sports fan like we are, so we're not going to ignore that we're in the middle of what might be one of the best postseason lineups we've had in Major League Baseball. I'm sorry about your O's, PJ. Have you sworn it off since the O's were eliminated, or are you still paying attention? And what do you thought? What are your thoughts on these 4 remaining series that we have here in the divisional round?
Yeah, guys, it's always tough, you know, when like your team loses and you just like it doesn't quite hit the same. But this postseason has just been so good. First time ever that all 4 divisional series were tied 1-1, which tells you how good that it's been so far. I didn't touch this Tigers-Guardians game going on right now. I love the Phillies coming up against the Mets. I think the Mets win that series in five games. But we just all know, even though the Mets feel like the team of destiny right now, they are not going to make it easy on their fans, right? It's just not what they're going to do. Even when they beat the Brewers, even when they beat the Brewers, they were up to, you know, Milwaukee was up 2-0 in that game. So, Gene, you know, even that game against the Braves, right? Game 161, when Atlanta came all the way back, and then the Mets, that's what they've been doing, guys. They don't make it easy. So, I love them on Friday in game five, but I like Philly tonight to get the job done. I'd come right back with the Royals again tonight against the Yankees. I like the over in that game eight. I think we see some offense, but I like the Royals to take care of business at home. And then give me the Padres tonight. Guys, I think the Padres are the best team in baseball. I really do. I think it's going to be Padres, Mets, NLCS. I think whoever wins that series is going to win the World Series. But the Padres are better. Their pitching staff, starting pitching bullpen's elite. Their lineup is on fire right now. Machado, Tatis, Merrill, all of them are hitting the baseball really well. So I think the Padres get it done tonight. Royals, and then Phillies would be my favorite play of the day.
What's the third baseman's name in San Diego?
Manny something, right?
Manny Machado.
March can't get here soon enough, PJ. We'll dial up another Baltimore accent bracket soon enough, buddy. Tell us about Send It In and what you got working every afternoon on the BetQL network.
Yeah, guys, 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern time every Monday through Friday. You can watch us on twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports. We're streaming live on the BetQL network. And it's basically like these interviews are, guys, right? We just go rapid fire. We run through all the sports. We give out picks throughout the day. So it's a lot of fun. It's interactive. So we encourage people to chime in and give their thoughts on what they like throughout the day. And show's been great, guys. You know I'm a March Madness guy, but October is maybe as good as it gets on the sports calendar. It's an awesome month. Everything's going on. So, yeah, hopefully people can tune in to Send It In.
Without a doubt. PJ, appreciate your time, and let's go Mets, buddy.
Absolutely. Good luck to your Mets, Gino. Good talking to you guys.
Right, you got it. PJ Glasser, he is the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports betting insider, and insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
Yeah, we're going to reserve our picks here for the Bills Jets, but actually I have to reserve my pick till Friday because I think that's actually a big deal. Like, if James Cook is not in the lineup, if Khalil Shakir is going to be out again, if you have a lineup and Curtis Samuel will take him out, that you're going to be starting Mac Hollins opposite Keon Coleman with Ray Davis in the backfield, what are we doing here?
If you wait and you're somehow able to get the Jets plus a field goal, I feel pretty safe about that. I feel like it could come down to a field goal. It could come down to the last possession. It could be tight. Like we saw week one last year when the Bills and the Jets faced off at MetLife. I want to believe that they're going to get things sorted out offensively as well. And no, James Cook certainly doesn't help that prospect. But there was something interesting that I saw. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh, my God. This is what every NFL team wishes they could do, and the Bills are not immune to it. The Bills will do it. I'll explain why, or I'll explain and tell you the team that continues to win with just a bunch of guys, the one thing being a differentiating factor that might be just a little bit different than what Buffalo has.
Okay. I'm still trying to figure out what team we're talking about here. Also, college football. We have this story. Is this real or not? This $9 billion proposal. It's almost like they like listen to the sports bar. $9 billion to unite
nine times
college football. Is this going to happen in our lifetime or not? I have my prediction on
this. All right, we're going to get to that. And don't forget, coming up, Jim Riley, the Barreled Up podcast, the Odyssey exclusive. We'll talk some Major League Baseball postseason here coming up at the 4 o'clock hour as well. Stay in the sports bar and join in if you want at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.